everything you know will change.
Like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans. Welcome to The Rundown. Yet another busy weekend in sports. We'll get you ready like only we can. NBA Finals Game 1 in the books. Toronto with a 1-0 lead over Golden State. Can Toronto win Game 2? Plus, how hurt is Kawhi Leonard? Also, the entire Rockets roster is apparently up for trade. Should the Hornets kick the tires on Chris Paul and bring him back home to North Carolina? The Panthers making moves this week. Former Bucks defensive tackle Gerald McCoy was in Charlotte the past 2 days. We'll give you the clue that he might become a Panther as soon as this weekend. And much more. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson. I'm joined by my man, John Oshevsky, Johnny O back in the house. Haskell Shelton in. Rod Funderburk will be in hour two. Sawyer Dillon is our producer extraordinaire. Intern Aaron Mannin, our social media. Our Twitter poll question of the day, it's concerning Mr. Chris Paul. Is Chris Paul still a top 20 player in today's NBA? It's a simple yes or no question. 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on any of the topics today. And I heard that the Dash game was canceled yesterday due to a power outage downtown. Did you guys get hit with the Armageddon yesterday?
That was unbelievable.
We were on the air, and me and Aaron looked out the window, and it was a sheet of white, like, just coming down. We're like, what's going on? It felt like a rock fight was going on outside. Hopefully everybody's okay. I think I'd heard maybe a tornado possibly touched down in High Point. So hopefully everybody's all right with all of that. But if you want to see the Winston-Salem Dash this season for only $7, go check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Winston-Salem Dash deal. Just go to sportscarolinamonthly.com, click on the Dash ticket special at the top of the homepage, and get your ticket vouchers and enjoy baseball action in the Triad. Single game tickets, only $7. These are a $16 value. They are behind home plate, premium seats, exclusively from sportscarolinamonthly.com, and these are good for the June 6th through the 9th homestand. That's this upcoming week. So definitely go stock up now, limited supply available. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com and get those. So let's get into the NBA Finals here. Raptors taking on the Warriors. Game one victory, 118-109 was the final. Just starting it off, how hurt do you think Kawhi Leonard is? Because it didn't look like he had a lot of lift in game one. Now, he still scored 21 or something like
23 and 8 and 5 assists, I guess.
Yeah, but so he still did Kawhi things.
But a lot slower, man. He did not have the push off. He wasn't doing the Kawhi things that he usually does, which kind of excited me because I want the Warriors to win this series.
Do you? Are you rooting for the Warriors because Durant's not playing right now, or would it matter if Durant was playing or not?
Either way, because I just love the way they play the game. And let's not, you know, I know we're going to get into it here. I guess on the next thing here, are the Warriors in trouble? But media, stop, man. They lost one game without Durant. And now it's, they can't win without Durant. Let's wait until tomorrow night. I think it's going to be a whole new ball game.
I chalk it up more to they didn't play for like 10 days. And like the Warriors more than maybe any other team other than like the Spurs are like a timing motion type of offense, and if you can't really duplicate it in practice. And Toronto was ready. People aren't giving Toronto enough credit. They are really
fantastic.
Good. Yeah.
They are. I mean, don't get me wrong. Toronto can definitely win this series. They deserve to be there, and just their defense alone, them stopping. Here was the key to that game. Draymond, if you saw him against Portland, he would grab that defensive rebound and just sprint down the middle of the court and do whatever he wanted to do. Toronto stepped in front of him before he got over that half court, and it kind of really screwed up the whole offense for Golden State. But again, 10 days off, 9 days off, whatever it was, that never works. You know, the rest is great, and resting the injuries and all that, but you do get a little rusty.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd say, I don't know what you guys think, but I'm thinking Kawhi's probably maybe 80%, 85%.
Yep.
And, you know, I guess from a kind of a curb appeal standpoint, at some point in this series, you literally could have Boogie, Kawhi, and Durant all limping around the court at the same time. And I know that the NBA does not want to see that. But, you know, I'm rooting for the Warriors as well.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
I'm surprised that everyone's starting to root for the Warriors. Well, not really.
And I'm not going to be sad if Toronto wins. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I just love the way the Warriors play, but Toronto impressed the you-know-what out of me the other night.
They're good, man. And I love their home court advantage. Like, right now, it just feels like all of Canada is kind of behind them.
That is very cool.
Or at least the city of Toronto. And it's just, it feels like a college town, like that crowd.
They've got 8 million people.
Yeah.
It's a big city. It's like, grown fast.
How great is that for the NBA? I mean, this has got to be good for the NBA.
I feel like, I mean, watching what's happened, like, why would Kawhi want to leave Toronto after this? Like, I'm sure he's going to opt out of his player option that Haskell was talking to us about before the show and become unrestricted. But, I mean, you've got a whole country, like, basically worshiping you, giving you free things, like, offering, like, firstborn children to stay here and stuff. And
they love him.
Why would he leave to go to the Clippers? Like, I mean,
yeah,
I don't understand it. Like, people are all like, oh, well, he wants to go to L.A. or whatever. I'm like, he said that 2 years ago, and when he said it, he was saying it like he wanted to go to the Lakers. A lot has changed.
And he's the kind of guy, I mean, he's hidden out there. He wants to be in the background.
Yeah. You know,
he just wants to play basketball and not have to be interviewed. And
so does it make sense to go to Los Angeles?
No, it doesn't.
Like, it doesn't. I mean, it didn't fit.
You're on the road all the time anyway, so I would discount cold weather. The only thing I can think of is probably some sort of increased taxation from Canada where they take a little piece of his, you know, what will probably be a $40 million a year player.
Oh, yeah. Like, he would, if he signed him, I can't remember how the rules work, but since he played a full year in Toronto, I would imagine Toronto gets his bird rights, so they could actually sign him to a Supermax. Yeah. He made an All-NBA team in the past two seasons, so they're saying that, like, what, 220, 240?
240
over, like, 5 years
something?
Or something like that? Yeah.
Some crazy number. Yeah, I think it was 5 years, 241. I still can't believe we can. And that is million people.
Yes. Oh, and I think he does. I mean, he is. I was a little skeptical when people were saying he was a top three guy because we hadn't really seen him play in like a year and a half.
So was I.
I'm not skeptical anymore. Yeah.
He is special, man. He, you know, even his 3-point, he's so nonchalant about it.
Yeah, it's so calm. Actually, you know what's crazy? Maybe about like a month ago, I forgot who it was that first mentioned it, but somebody said something about him reminding them of Michael Jordan, and everybody went crazy over it.
I think it was Doc Rivers.
I think it was.
It was. And, yeah, he got fined for it.
And now I see it, what he was saying. Like, he's not saying he's as good as Michael Jordan, but there's certain things Kawhi does that reminds me of Michael Jordan, like his movements. Like, it's simple things like when he hits, like if he's at a free throw line, he shoots a free throw and it goes in, Jordan would do like this little like hop type thing. Like, he'd shoot it, it'd go in, he'd kind of hop and then walking up the court. Kawhi does the exact same thing. Kobe does the same thing too. But like, it's little mannerisms and like the way he shoots, like the way his hands are spaced, like, cause he's got these huge mitts. Yeah. Like Jordan did. And I'm starting to see it. His body's kind of shaped like him and he kind of moves around in the paint kind of like him. He passes like him. He's not as good, but, and I don't even know if you could say that he's the best clone of Jordan, because that probably is still Kobe.
That's Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, but absolutely. Now it makes sense when I heard that the first time that Kawhi kind of reminds people of Jordan to me, because he does to me right now.
But let me ask you this. I mean, do you turn on the TV to watch Kawhi Leonard?
No.
Can you believe that? I mean, this guy is really, really good. Either do I.
Yeah. I'd really
say I might now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say just from kind of this whole coming out party that he has.
Right.
Obviously, he's been an all-NBA player, had terrific stats, has been an all-star. But I think for the general public to step onto this type of stage, in many ways, is his coming out party.
It really is.
So we need to tackle this Warriors-Durant situation. I did have a question, though. If Kevin Durant flew on the plane to Toronto and he's there, why is he not sitting on the bench watching the game with them?
Great question.
He's in the back. I don't understand why. If you can fly on a plane to Toronto from Golden State across the country, why can you not sit on the bench and support DeMarcus Cousins sat out there when he was hurt with a quad?
He did. I don't understand that either. And some of the big superstars do sit on. LeBron always sits on the bench when he's out. I'm not saying anything against Durant on that, but it is kind of odd that he's not out on the bench. You know, it's not a
– he's in the back, like wearing a hoodie, like lingering in the tunnel. And but like always, he'll give him high fives when they walk in. I'm like, you know, why aren't you
encouraging the guys?
Yeah.
It could be that – and I don't know, just theorizing. There's a, kind of a couple different roads. Either one, you've got kind of the he's not the quintessential teammate and, you know, he wants to sit up in the luxury box and watch the game and isn't really part of the guys. Or the second part, I guess,
You know, him being up in the luxury box. No, he's down in the locker rooms watching the game.
He's
in, you
like, his, they're saying he's at his locker watching. You know,
he
does.
I don't think he wants. You know, he probably thinks he needs to put on a, you know, a suit and tie or something like that on the bench or whatever. Man. He's not a suit and tie kind of guy.
Get out there in your sweats and just, you know.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, get on the bench.
What are you doing? Like, it makes it look like he's not attached to the team. But then you hear, like, I heard, like, in game one at halftime, he was kind of leading the halftime talk, and he talked to Steph one-on-one about some things. And
so the team's okay with it.
Draymond said yesterday that, you know, when Draymond was injured, he didn't sit on the bench. When Steph Curry was injured, he didn't sit on the bench. And that's, I'm like, true. You know what? I think he's right. Okay. But I don't know if that's a culture thing with Golden State or what, but I can excuse them because they've been there. Like they're the, to me, the core of Golden State is Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. That's never going to change. Even if Kevin Durant leaves and goes to, heaven forbid, New York or wherever he might go, I'm starting to feel like a lot of these free agents, other than Kyrie Irving, who's kind of forced himself out of Boston, I don't know if any of them leave where they are right now. Because if you look at it,
it's too much money to leave on the table.
It's so much money, and most of them in the best situation where they are right now. Like, is Kawhi in a better situation in Toronto where he's the guy and maybe they can either let Pascal Siakam turn into whatever he might end up turning into? I know he had just one game. He's had a good playoff series. I mean, good playoff run.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that 32-point outburst was really, special. And he looks great. But he's been good all year.
I wasn't surprised by it, actually. No. Yeah, from watching
he is
Toronto.
A player, man.
Yeah, he's good. He's long.
I'm rooting against him.
Why?
Because I've been called Pascal my whole life. And if this guy gets elevated, I could be hearing Pascal into my 90s. Yes.
We get to call him Pascal now. Opened up a can of worms.
I did.
Pascal Shelton.
Siakam Shelton.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in and talk about game one. Game two is tomorrow night. Early tip, I think, 8:30, 8 o'clock. Yes. Thank you, ABC, for not scheduling this at 10 o'clock in the evening for us to watch on a Sunday night. You guys have any issues with Drake being the global ambassador of the Toronto Raptors?
Holy.
Ambassador? What do you have to do? Just be almost like a mascot, but like on the sidelines?
I mean, I think it's pretty cool that he's, for Toronto, you know, I mean, because, you know, I go back to the old Jack Nicholson and all that kind of stuff for the Lakers, but he is way too, he is too involved, you know, in, what's his name, Spike Lee for the Knicks. Yeah, you know, I mean, that was fun stuff.
Spike Lee never went and massaged Jeff Van Gundy's shoulders during a game.
No. And Drake, I got to say, you know, and don't take me wrong here, I didn't know he was so freaking buffed up.
Oh, yeah, man. He does is write rhymes and lift weights.
He started from the bottom. Now he's here.
You know he's got a tattoo of Kevin Durant and Steph Curry on his arm?
I saw that, but he had it covered.
He had an armband or something on it. Why would you – we were talking about this the other day on the drive. What would make you get a tattoo of a player on your arm? Like, what connection – like, what would make Haskell Shelton get a tattoo of – whoever on their arm. And I think, and Aaron has something
on his. It would have to be one of my deceased relatives.
I said it had to be somebody that died. Literally. It'd have to be some, like, a friend or family member or something like that. Aaron?
I say this hesitantly because I'm not really sure about it. Right. However,
step on in.
If Project Pat wins the Chiefs the Super Bowl, I might do it.
Why?
I might do it.
Why?
Let's put a wager on right now.
Think about it.
Where are you going to put that? Where are you going to put that tattoo?
On my face.
What are you going to put?
Patrick Mahomes ketchup face tattoo.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a bottle of ketchup tipped over on my face, and Patrick Mahomes is going to pour out.
You'll be the Lil Wayne of face, NFL face tattoos. Every MVP going forward.
You know, and I could see – actually, it's funny you're mentioning this because my – daughter Sydney, we actually went out for sushi the other night, and she was talking about a tattoo, and she goes, "Dad, you should get a tattoo." And the only way I would ever get a tattoo would be, you know, Sydney and Lucas. You
right,
know,
I'd
put, you know, some SNL or what, you know, whatever, you know, figure something out how to do it. But
I got to say, you're needles,
big,
man.
Big Saturday Night Live fan, and you'd go, "Nope, these are my kids."
That's right. Oh, yeah, there you go.
I could imagine putting like a, I don't know, because I was trying to think of somebody in basketball I would do that with, like Michael Jordan or something. But I mean, no. I love MJ, but I'm not getting a tattoo of his number or his face like on me. Like, what? I don't understand it.
Can we talk about the eBay thing? This has just blown my mind.
eBay thing?
Okay, so I don't know if y'all were aware of this, the whole feud with Drake where he picked the lint out of Steph Curry's hair.
Oh, yeah.
And then put it on eBay, and it's now.
Kidding. Oh, that's for real? Like, yeah. I saw he put the picture on Instagram.
Yeah, no, it's for
real. He put it on eBay for real?
Yeah, it's the last I checked, it was over $50,000.
No, say it ain't so. Oh,
but I mean, there's
hey, Aaron, see if you can find that on eBay. See if it's still up on there. So
there's
see where
a
it
bunch
is.
Of fake accounts, so I will say that. If you pull up Steph Curry hair lint, there's like 25 fake auctions, but there is a legit auction. And then it's by Draymond Shouldn't Wear 23. And so I feel like he's taking the player haters ball to like a whole new level.
Drake's troll game. I respect his troll game. You see what he was wearing game one? Curry Toronto Raptors jersey?
Cool.
That's, I respect that, but if he would have done that and been silent, I feel like that would have been far more effective than
he was more low key for game one than he was the series before. Because series four, he was walking the sidelines like the coach, but he didn't really seem like he was in the way until the thing with Steph Curry and the lint.
And then Draymond and then the Green the game. At the end.
Yeah,
Draymond. So. I would love to know what Draymond was saying to him.
It looked like he said he was soft or something like that. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I hope Drake goes to Oakland, though. I hope he flies to Oakland for like Spike Lee style and shows up front row. He didn't do that last series. He didn't. I don't think he traveled with the team like that.
Travel?
He should. Yeah. He's the global ambassador. I'd imagine he gets.
See, there's some things I like about him being there, and I think it's pretty cool with Toronto. I really like the whole idea of Toronto being in the finals, but. You know, but then he pushes the limit. And why is he only got to touch? You know, he's touching the coach. He's touching Steph
Curry.
Coach
didn't even seem to care. Yeah, what are you doing, man? You can't just touch these dudes. And, like, maybe he thinks he can just touch these dudes. So
crazy.
If Golden State loses, I'm looking forward to a Golden State fan making a montage of all of their heirs to God's plan. That would be very funny.
Yeah. Now, are the Warriors in trouble, fellas? Like, I know we're
no.
You guys said you're rooting for the Warriors. I'm kind of rooting for him as long as Kevin Durant's not playing. Like, I like them without Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant magically pops up, and I've been on record saying I don't think he's going to play at all, like, ever again for the Warriors. But if he comes out and plays a little bit, that changes the whole thing.
Yeah, but he's not going to come back full strength.
That's he won't be 100% no matter what. And calf strains are funny, man. Like, they're usually a month long or longer type injury, and they can linger. Usually you kind of need an off season to
it's
get over
it. It's not like
it.
A sore knee or a sore ankle.
Yeah.
I mean, if that calf stretches again, you're done.
Yeah.
No, they're not in trouble. It was one game, okay? And Toronto was pumped out of their minds. You know, it's the first game of the finals. They're in Toronto. How about how many people are outside that?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Jurassic Park.
They said there's like 20 or 25 other Jurassic Parks around Toronto that they set up.
Really?
Yeah, with all those people too. And that makes sense with you saying there's 8 million people in Toronto. They can handle something like
that. One of the really cool things about Toronto, if you look for game two in the crowd, it's one of the most diverse cities in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you literally look around when you talk about global ambassador, it's just really neat. There's just people from everywhere that you don't think would be NBA fans are, you know,
they've
third row,
to become,
fourth
yeah.
row, fifth
yeah.
row.
Which brings me back to my whole why would Kawhi want to leave this?
He should. Yeah. Toronto is a beautiful city. Too.
Stay there. Gosh. You can live in LA in the summer. I mean, you don't have to play in that city if you want to be there. I mean, just live there in LA. He probably already does this anyway. Live in LA during the summer, during the off season, and stay in Toronto. You've got a great group, and like Toronto's bench is great. Like they are really good. They all know how to defend. If Kawhi's your focal point, and either Pascal Siakam grows into whatever, or you make some moves. I mean, Masi Ujiri, the general manager, he's shown that he's willing to push everything to the middle of the table. Go trade for Anthony Davis.
Absolutely.
You
know,
do the same thing you just did. Have him there for a year. See if he falls in love with Toronto and Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard together.
And let's not forget, Toronto was really good last year.
They were. Okay. They were the number one seed.
But they had to go against LeBron James. Mm-hmm. There's a big reason why Toronto is in the finals this year. And yes, it's Kawhi and this Pascal Shelton. No, I'm sorry.
Pascal Siakam. Now you're just going to get it confused every time.
But the reason why they're in the finals is because LeBron went west.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
And they said
that's a big part of it.
Giannis said that. He was like, yeah, the East totally opened up when LeBron left the East. And sure I think if – A, I think LeBron's rethinking leaving Cleveland now at this point while he's in L.A. and absolutely. All this stuff's going on there. You think the thoughts crossed LeBron's mind over the past 2 months watching the NBA playoffs? If I had stayed in Cleveland, we would be in the finals right now. Like, regardless of whatever I had around me, I could have dragged this dead body to the NBA finals just like I did last year. Yep. They put that team together at the trade deadline, and he somehow got them to the finals. So, I mean, oh, I think Aaron's got an update on our Drake.
Yeah, I got breaking news on Hair Lint.
What we got?
At the time of publication of the page I'm looking at, which was yesterday about 1 in the afternoon, one of the pages had 181 bids on it with the auction highest bid at $100,000.
Stop it.
They're saying it's unclear, though, if the page even belongs to Drake, as Pascal said, fake accounts out there.
That's incredible.
I'm going to take a break. we're going to get back to the NBA later because I got a huge question that actually affects us locally that we'll get into in the second hour when our man Rod is in the house. But next, a little barbershop talk. Earlier this week, a 4-year-old girl was hit by a foul pitch during a Major League Baseball game between the Astros and the Cubs, and it's ignited a debate regarding whether the protection netting should be extended further than where it is currently to protect fans. I've got two baseball-loving fans in here, and we're going to discuss it. 336-777-1600 if you've got an opinion on this, or hit us at Sports Hub Try It on Twitter. Barbershop Talk, next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Barbershop Talk brought to you by Haviland Express Lube of Kernersville. Their service facility is independently owned and operated by Mac Allen, providing full service repair and maintenance services. They use the latest diagnostic equipment to guarantee your vehicle is repaired or serviced properly in a timely fashion. Mac and his team pride themselves on commitment to the local community and providing value-driven service in an inviting, friendly environment. Go see Mac at Haviland Express Lube of Kernersville for all of your automotive needs. You are locked into a Saturday rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, Johnny O, Haskell Shelton in the house. And since I've got these two baseball-loving guys in here, I wanted to actually go into this topic that happened this week in terms of Major League Baseball and foul balls. A couple of quick facts for you guys before we even get into this, just to kind of frame this conversation. 1,750, that's the number of fans that are hurt each year by foul balls across the country. 100 to 110 miles per hour. That's the speeds at which these baseballs are actually entering the stands.
Absolutely.
$8,000 to $12,000. That's the cost of protective netting per 60 feet. $10 billion is Major League Baseball's gross revenue just for 2018. So for more than 100 years, for people that don't really realize this, there's been a legal doctrine known as the baseball rule that's basically immunized big league teams from liability when fans are hit by balls or bats. That's why you don't see when someone gets hit by a foul ball, the Toronto Blue Jays getting sued or the Atlanta Braves getting sued. Basically, it's kind of almost like a handshake agreement. When you go to a baseball game, you're agreeing that if I get hit by a foul ball, then I shouldn't have been in the way and I should have moved or something along those lines.
Yeah, I remember this from business law class. One of the things I found interesting, on the back of your ticket stub when you buy it, it's called an exculpatory clause.
Yep.
So that's essentially your contract saying that, you know, if you get hit by a foul ball that you won't sue the team.
Yeah.
So by purchasing the ticket and having that in hand, you know, this legal precedent has carried on for years in baseball that you don't really have a case.
That is wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now the current rule is that teams don't have to pay for any of these injuries and fans assume the risk by agreeing to sit in the stadium, like Haskell just mentioned. The study, it's called The Faulty Law and Economics of the Baseball Rule, said that fans today often sit more than 20% closer to home plate than they did throughout most of the 20th century. So this, combined with balls being hit into the stands by bigger, stronger athletes, it substantially reduces the reaction time for fans. Like, it's hard to move out of the way of a 100-mile-per-hour fastball being, you know, rocketed towards your face. Like, you've got, what, a second reaction time? Well, depending on where you're sitting or whatever's going on. So really the questions become, should Major League Baseball take it upon themselves to extend the protective netting all the way down the foul line on both sides of the field instead of the end of the dugout where it currently is? And they just extended that, did they not, just recently?
Just a couple few years ago.
Yeah. Or should teams do it, or should teams wait for Major League Baseball to make a move themselves?
I think it should be done immediately. And the dollars and cents means nothing when they're bringing in $10 billion a year. But, you know, you talk about sitting close. I got to throw this in real quick. My son and I went to the Baltimore Oreo Red Sox game a couple Mondays ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we bought a $20 ticket, Haskell, you know, up in the whatever the cheap seats. And we sat front row right behind the backstop with the netting in front of us, right where the on-deck circle of the Boston Red Sox was for 7 innings. We didn't get caught until after the 7th inning. They came down, do you have a front row tickets? But anyway, but we're so close. Okay, but that netting did not bother me looking through it at all.
That was going to be my question. Does it really even bother you?
You don't even know it's there.
Okay.
Seriously, it's so light.
Here's one of the things, just, you know, kind of thinking through that, like what would you miss if, you know, you obviously, if, assuming you can see, and assuming that it keeps you safe, what would you miss? And my point would be that one of the great things about baseball historically, and part of the nostalgia, is the contact between the fans and the players. And the fact that pregame, while batting practice is going on, you can go up to the rail, you can get autographs, you can get selfies. There's actually interaction, whereas that's a little harder with the NFL because you've got, you know, 8 to 10 foot partitions. Yeah. However, very easily, the grounds crew, I mean, they could literally roll out a barrier that goes down the first baseline and third baseline, have it retractable so that you could even be in a position where either as soon as batting practice starts or have a period before batting practice where kids can come get autographs, everybody can kind of have that part of the experience. But, you know, while live balls are being batted, put up the fence. And it's not going to stop every injury because there's going to essentially be screamers that are hit over the line. But when you think about what hockey's done in protecting that netting,
same thing.
you've substantially reduced the number of people that are hit by hockey pucks from slap shots that are going over. So I would say they need to follow that lead and really take some more precaution.
Put that netting all the way down to the foul lines on each side, no doubt about it. And I liked what we were talking about off the air, maybe 8 to 10 feet high because that's when the real line drives are coming through. And don't even think that we're just talking about baseballs. Bats come flying into the stands too.
That's
broken bats. And so a broken bat that has like a sword coming at you because it, you know, it's like a when it slivers off, I've seen that quite a few times go into the stands. But, you know, the lucky fan gets that bat. But, I mean, you can get killed
sometimes. The lucky fan.
No,
it's the other dude gets hit, and then somebody picks up the bat.
It seems like what happens. Someone gets hit with a ball or bat, and some, like, old man, like, picks it up and starts going, I got the ball and everything else. Aaron?
Here's your poll question for the day.
Yeah.
Would you rather get hit by a hockey puck or baseball?
Oh, no doubt. I've been drilled by a softball in the nose.
Oh, gosh.
Had three surgeries. You might have remembered this. I would definitely take a baseball or a softball rather than a hockey puck.
Hockey puck sounds.
I've got another buddy who had an injury at the same time, and the hockey puck will just destroy your face.
What is a hockey puck made out of?
Isn't it kind of like rubber?
It's got to be a hard rubber.
Plastic rubber, yeah.
Obsidian. That's what it's made of.
For real?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, you just kind of pulled that out there. I think I'm going to choose the baseball too, but because at least with the baseball, I almost feel like it's traveling a further distance, so maybe it'll calm down by the time it gets near me.
Man,
hockey puck, it feels like it's coming like fast.
Yeah. And hockey puck, some of those guys are diving in front of pucks to save slap shots and don't have face guards on. I mean, crazy.
Yeah,
hockey people are crazy. But I like the 8 to 10 foot high. You know, all the way the netting, because you still want the pop fly foul balls to get into the stands, and you know, at least they have an opportunity to catch the fly ball.
If it's up in the air, everybody now warns, because
everyone's standing up trying to catch the ball. And you're so right on that. It's always the guy that tries to catch it, it bounces out of his hands and lands in someone else's lap.
He drops his beer. The first person who touches the ball is pretty much always the loser.
So here's my question then, because is it like this in like lower levels, like minor league ball, college ball, high school? Did they extend to the dugouts
too? Well, think about college baseball, the exit speed off an aluminum bat is exponentially greater. And there's just not as many fans, and you're not hearing about it because most of the games are not on TV.
So should those be extended to the foul pole too? Like, my question is, should it be extended all the way down the line? Little league up to Major League Baseball. 100%. Should it just be like a rule that they just, I don't know how they could do this, but.
Just do it.
Just do it.
It's got to be done.
At some level, I would say at least above high school, is protect as much as you can. Obviously, it's got to make economic sense where, you know, there's some revenue coming in.
A quick funny story. My brother Rick was my biggest fan in baseball. I mean, he was at college. He would went to college to Oneonta State. It was about 2.5 hours from Syracuse. He came home for every one of my games. Never missed any of my games. And so I'm on the pitcher's mound, and the guy hits a line drive. What you're talking about? This is I'm 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
Line drive down the left field line, foul ball, and I look over. And it hit my brother had just gotten there, just got off the road to watch the game.
Oh, my gosh.
Right smack in the forehead. And you know how that big knot just sticks out of his head? I'm looking down there. I go, oh, my God, it hit my brother slick, man. Oh, no.
She had the Marsha Brady on his head.
Exactly. It was funny.
Look, I'm trying. So we're all in agreement that it's not going to hinder the game if they – extend the netting all the way down to the foul line pole. Because that was my thought, was that, well, I guess people would, like, I guess baseball purists would be like, well, you can't do that because then you're going to obstruct the view or something like that. But it feels like nowadays, I agree with this. I mean, guys that are out here hitting today in 2019 are much bigger and stronger than guys even from like the 70s and 80s. So, I mean, they're rocketing these balls out into the stands.
It's coming off, like, that bat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they tell us the speed that it's coming off the bat now. I mean, it's unbelievable.
100 to 110 miles an hour off the bat.
And you know what? If they're putting that netting all the way down the lines, those box seats, families will start buying those box seats again, because a lot of families will not buy those seats because of that.
That's a great point, actually.
No, we always try to sit behind the net, even at the Grasshoppers.
Absolutely.
Games.
The tickets that we have on sportscolumnmonthly.com for the Dash are home plate seats behind the net.
Behind that net.
Yeah, so they're directly behind it. And, you know, I never really thought about it before, but I've never really thought about where, if I do go to a baseball game, I do enjoy going to live baseball. Like, it is an experience. You can't really get that from TV. But if you go live, it is a fun event. And if you get a chance, go to the Dash, because they have a great stadium. And I like the layout of what they have. But I'm not going to lie, man. I drove through there, I think, last week in the middle of the day, and they were having one of those school days where they have, like, you know, all the whatever grade of a school or schools around the county in there. And there's just, like, 40 school buses in the parking lot, and the whole audience is just kids. And my first thought driving through there, looking at, because you can kind of drive up above the Dash Stadium on First Street a little bit, so you can kind of look into it. My first thought was, man, I hope, like, you know, those kids are going to be straight with a foul ball, like the ones that are sitting, like, kind of right outside the dugout.
Exactly.
That was literally my first thought driving away. And that's why I really wanted to put this in here and have people that I understand baseball to be able to talk about it, because I don't watch it enough to really know for sure if it's going to be something that. Is this going to be something that really upsets people, like baseball purists?
No,
if they do this?
Not at all.
Do you think they ever will? Do you think they ever will extend it to the foul pole?
Yes.
Yeah?
I would think they would do it before the end of this year.
Now that's a little different. Thinking they might do it.
But the team, I like what you said here.
Just let the team
control.
Maybe
the team just do it. You know, I think they have to get permission from the MLB, and I'm certain.
Why would they say no?
He's not going to say no.
Like, you can't put that netting there. Yeah. What are you doing? Trying to save lives? You can't stick that out there.
Yeah.
Nah.
So, no, it won't affect the game at all. Until what Haskey said, though, you know, fan interference, you know, will.
Yeah, fan interference will go
help.
Down. Yep.
Will that hurt the game or
no,
hurt the game?
That'll help.
No, I think that'll help the game, especially, you know, when you think about it. It seems like all the time somebody, especially like at Fenway, right? Somebody will hit a double down the line.
Yep.
It should be a double, and maybe it could be a triple if it takes a bad hop out there off the monster.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, some fan grabs it, and it's a ground rule double or whatever, and it affects a run scoring from first. So you just want to eliminate the players or the fans in the stands being able to control the game like that, or a Bartman or whoever.
Real quick, we got a couple extra minutes here in this segment talking about Major League Baseball, because people know we typically don't really touch on Major League Baseball, A, because we don't have a Major League Baseball team here in North Carolina, and B, I don't really know a whole lot about baseball. I don't really watch it during the regular season. I kind of come around. I know the rules and everything else, and some players. It's not the same for me as it was when I was a kid. Like, when I was a kid, I had guys I rooted for, like Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds, and I rooted for the Braves, those 90s Braves teams. They kind of felt like it was almost like they were a regional team, and that was like our team here. But now that I'm older, it's like, I wouldn't recognize Mike Trout if he passed me in Walmart, and, like, I wouldn't know who he was, like, literally. Like, and I don't know what happened with the disconnect with me in terms of just – I feel like I don't have the same group of stars that I was just attracted to as it was like back in the 90s or so. Is that wrong?
You don't,
or?
But you don't have the same group, but you also don't have steroids. Right. So,
That's what I'm kind of getting to here. Should they bring steroids back to?
Should steroids be back in baseball?
Should we stick steroids back in
baseball?
That's a poll
question.
Back to Mike to get off of that. But Mike Trout, you know, I mean, he's on the West Coast too, so you don't see a lot of him.
That's true.
Getting ripped off by not really seeing his games or anything like that. And he is the best baseball player in the game today. But if you saw, like an Aaron Judge walking through Walmart, you would say, I think that's Aaron Judge.
I think that guy plays some kind of sport, whatever.
He's a pro athlete,
a wrestler or something. It's huge. Speaking of, actually, I'll cut that a little bit later on in the show, but I know you're a Red Sox fan.
Yes, I am.
And
Tigers.
You're a Tigers fan. What's up with your teams, guys? How are they doing?
We're struggling, but. I just want you all to remember we are still the world champions.
Until another team is named. That is correct. June 1st.
Just don't count us out yet because we're going back and forth. We're back over 500. The Yankees are. I'll give the Yankees kudos. They won last night. They're playing very good baseball with their minor league team because they're all hurt. So
yeah,
that scares me
because
Giancarlo and Judge haven't even played in the past 2 months, and the Yankees are still rolling.
Is it the Twins that still have the best record right now?
Yes, the Twins are playing fantastic.
they're hitting a bunch of home runs, right?
I got a bunch of young guys. You know, they really are just a couple of years behind the Astros in terms of the youth movement and putting money into minor league baseball. So you're starting to see a lot of these young guys come up, and they've been prospects for the last 2 or 3 years. But now all of a sudden you got a guy like a C.J. Crohn who's a big deal.
And think about it. 25 years ago, we could have had that Minnesota Twins playing here in Kernersville, North Carolina.
That literally where they're going to build the Amazon Fulfillment Center that I saw earlier this week that's going to employ like 1,000 people.
Is that where the stadium was going
to
go?
It was supposed to be right there in that area where the 240s kind of branch off. Because I guess the logic was that it'll be convenient for anybody to get here from state if it's right here in this area, like Kernersville, Colfax area. It's central, so you can get there from 40 or 85. Or come up from Charlotte, come in from Raleigh.
77 even.
Yeah, 77. So, I mean,
that would have been great.
I'm curious, though, because it's like and that's actually a great segue, too, and we got to take a quick break. But I think it was earlier this week, Tampa, who actually has a pretty good team this year.
They're a very good team.
They were playing a game. There was like 12 people in the stands or something. Yeah.
It was exaggerated, but I mean, it looked like 12 people.
What's going on?
That's a team that needs to come to Charlotte. And I hear Raleigh is starting to chatter a little bit about wanting an MLB team. They would fit into this.
I was
going
to say, it almost
just
looks
wonderful.
Would it be better in Raleigh or in Charlotte?
Either one. But
Charlotte could sustain it. I think Raleigh could too, actually.
Yeah, Raleigh, either one.
Yeah.
The thing Charlotte's got going for it is it could build up the BB&T Stadium downtown into a park. They built it purposely so that it would be scalable.
I thought they did not.
Yeah, you can. They can scale that up and build straight up.
Wow.
From the outfield seats. So.
Oh, that's the case because the view in there is fantastic.
Yeah. Initially, I think they'd be prohibited with some luxury suites and some stuff like that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm sure there's some engineers that are creative.
And don't get the MLB. I know attendance is down. I guess we're going to talk about that.
No.
It's down a little bit, but I mean, I think the average attendance right now, and it's June 1st, has been like 27,000 per game.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I mean, I think about a Charlotte team or a Raleigh team, if they can average 27 or 30,000 people a game
for
81 games, bring them on.
Just think of the economy. Like, wherever that ballpark is, everything around it would just become, restaurants and bars and stuff. I mean,
again, 25 years ago, in case listeners weren't here in the triad, we were going for the Minnesota Twins possibly coming. It got voted down. They were going to come here, and the stadium's going to be built in Kernersville.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what this area would be?
Oh, it'd be triple the population at this point, probably.
Gosh.
We'd be looking at like 60,000 people living here, and no telling what would have sprung up around that. But it's kind of weird to kind of picture, driving past like Sandy Ridge Road and seeing like the outline of a baseball stadium kind of off in a field,
that's a dream right there.
But that's kind of what it would have been. But I'm gonna take a quick break. When we come back, they're racing tonight. Bowman Gray News. We've got track announcer Randy Pettit that'll be calling in just a bit to get us hyped for Bowman Gray tonight. We'll take a quick look at the leaderboard too, heading into the races for tonight to get you ready. Plus the voice of the dash, Joe Weil, he'll check in, give us an update on the dash. Next on the Rundown.
When it comes to advertising on the Triad Sports Hub, we let our clients tell the story.
The WSJS sports folks put their money where their mouth is. We named a pizza for local afternoon host Josh Graham, calling it the Graham Slam. When we promoted it on the Sports Hub, over 20 new customers ordered it by name, not to mention current Pie Guys customers that ordered it after hearing it on the Sports Hub. The Sports Hub works.
If your business could use more business, contact us at sportshubtriad.com.
Are you tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? D-Rex Pharmacy is now offering a money-saving alternative to Viagra. It's called Sildenafil. This 20-milligram tablet is less expensive and just as effective as Viagra. Five tablets of Sildenafil equals one 100 milligrams of Viagra. D-Rex Pharmacy is offering a huge cost saving on Sildenafil. You can purchase 50 tablets for just $75, less than $2 a pill. Here's pharmacist and pharmacy owner, David Morrison.
It's the same active ingredient. It works exactly the same. It does require a prescription, but it's going to save the patient an enormous amount of money by getting the Sildenafil instead of the brand name Viagra.
Call our toll-free number now and cash in on the huge savings. Free shipping is now available. 877-663-2046. D-Rex Pharmacy, 450 Winston Road in Jonesville.
Cigar aficionados, Havana Phil here with Havana Phil Cigars, inviting you to visit our store at 1628 Battleground Avenue in Midtown Greensboro. Our expert and friendly staff will happily help you navigate our spacious humidor, housing a magnificent selection of the world's finest cigars. Our beautiful showroom offers a wonderful variety of accessories and gift items. We have several opportunities for your smoking enjoyment, including the complimentary Rocky Patel Lounge and La Bodega Patio during retail hours Monday through Saturday, 11 to 7. The fabulous members-only Davidoff Lounge is open Tuesday through Saturday evenings, featuring a quiet and comfortable environment to enjoy your favorite cigar, paired with the finest spirits, wine, beer, or a handcrafted coffee. Memberships are still available, so when you think cigars, come to Havana Phil's in the heart of Greensboro. Enjoy life and smoke great cigars at Havana Phil.
Brick's Wood Fired Pizza has some amazing news. Brick's is now serving wood-fired wings. To separate yourself from the competition, simply add fire. And their brick ovens enhance the natural flavors of their quality ingredients, giving their pizza that amazing wood-fired taste, as well as their wood-fired wings. Along with daily beer and cocktail specials with 24 craft beers on tap and 14 wines by the glass. Brick's Wood-Fired Pizza and Wood-Fired Wings, located in Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and BricksPizza.com.
A special message from Goodwill.
Timothy would just like to thank you for cleaning out your closet. Maya says gracias for being such a great bargain hunter. April could hug you for growing tired of your old sofa. And Christy is loving the fact that you bought that toaster oven. Those are just some of the thousands of people you've helped by donating and shopping at Goodwill. Because the money we raise by selling your donated items allows us to train deserving folks for good-paying jobs. So from all of us at Goodwill, thanks.
Being a Farm Bureau insurance agent means being local. It means insuring your child's first car and standing beside you after a storm. It's more than a business to us. It's a friendship. So call an agent who calls North Carolina home. Because when you need us, we're there. In every county, every day. North Carolina Farm Bureau Insurance. Helping you is what we do best.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party?
Yeah! Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Myth Becomes Legend 2, the 2018 East Forsyth State Champs, is a three-part series detailing the journey of the Eagles from the preseason to the state title game. In the words of players, coaches, and staff, hear from head coach Todd Willard and star players such as quarterback Ty Lyles and safety Khalid Martin and more. Part 1 is out now exclusively at SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. You're listening to The Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson. Johnny O, Haskell Shelton in the house. We are going to get into Bowman Gray coverage here, as we do every Saturday during the race season on The Rundown. We get you caught up on race results from last week and the point standings going into tonight. I haven't checked the weather, but I think it's supposed to be clear in the 60s. Good night for racing tonight at Bowman Gray, so definitely go check it out. If I'm not mistaken, it's a $2 ladies night for tonight. And if you didn't get the race results from yesterday, which you can also get at Sports Carolina Monthly, SportsCarolinaMonthly.com every week. The modified last week, May 25th, Brandon Ward won. Sportsman Justin Taylor won. Unofficial results are listed there. Street Stock Jeremy Warren was the winner. And there was no division races in Stadium Stock on the 25th of May. There is a new article on Sports Carolina Monthly on Justin Taylor written by Cody Hecox that just went up this morning. So definitely go and check that out while you're getting ready to go out to see Bowman Gray Racing tonight. Your point standings going into June 1st. Leading the modified series, Tim Brown is the leader with 134 points. Jason Myers is behind him in second place going into races tonight. The Sportsman Series, Justin Taylor currently has a lead over Kyle Southern in that division. Street Stock, Jeremy Warren is your leader. Billy Gregg is right behind him in second place. And then finally in the Stadium Stock division, Grayson Keating is your leader, but he's got a two-point lead over Steven Sanders right now. So that gets you set up for your races for tonight. And on the line right now, we have voice of Bowman Gray Racing, Randy Pettit, checking in with us for a bit. And what's going on, Randy? What's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was playing Storm Chaser last night. We had some rain over at Ace Speedway north of Burlington, and we canceled the races. I'm driving home, and I see a big old funnel cloud staring me down. So I stopped to take a picture and send it over to my buddies at Fox 8, and then I maybe set some land speed records on the way home, man. pretty crazy night last night, and we're really excited to have some better weather tonight for ladies' night at the Madhouse.
Yeah, so I was looking at the weather, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to have a clear day today, knock on wood. It looks like it's going to be fairly clear, about in the 60s, so it should be a really great night to be out at the racetrack. I've got a question. I've been meaning to ask you for a couple of weeks. I stumbled upon this video on Facebook maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know if you've seen it or not. We haven't talked about this yet. But it was a fight in the parking lot between Derek Stoltz and I think John Holloman. Do you know anything about this and what the aftermath of this was? Because it's so short of a clip, but it's a literal, like, there's a standoff, and then they start literally fighting each other, and then the video cuts off. And I didn't hear anything else about what happened after that. Do you have any kind of news on what happened with that or what started that?
Well, these are two guys that are really super competitive. Derek Stoltz and Holloman both are guys that are capable of winning on any given night. And both of those teams put so much work into their cars. And frankly, Desmond, those guys just don't like each other. And I think there have been some animosity brewing between the two. And something happened in a morning practice session. I wasn't there. I was running my car show up here in Roxboro, North Carolina, when that happened. And that's just a small clip from the whole incident. There were some swings and some punches landed. I don't have a scorecard. I don't know who won, but I know both of those guys had a lot of frustration with each other, and I think maybe they got some of that out of their system. They raced last week. And they were up there battling for position. There was no anybody hitting each other, taking anybody out.
That's good.
You know, those guys are great racers, and I think they just got frustrated with some things and just need to get it out of their system. And, that's part of being a weekly short track driver. Those kind of things happen from time to time.
We're on the line with Randy Pettit, Bowman Gray track announcer, getting you guys set for Bowman Gray Racing later on tonight in Winston-Salem. This might be a hard question to answer, Randy, but who would you say is the most popular driver right now at Bowman Gray? I got a
whole
series.
John Holloman has led the most popular driver voting by a large margin for several years. In fact, since he started as a rookie in the street stock division. So he is certainly one of the most popular. He's kind of the white hat, and the black hat in that division has been Derek Stoltz. He's certainly got legions of fans, and that's part of it. Those two guys are so popular in that division. They are probably the two standards there. Amber Lynn, she is a young lady that just moved up from street stock a couple of seasons ago and just got her first win. She has an enormous amount of fans. Street stock division, I would say that's probably going to be Taylor Robbins, another young lady who has a ton of fans. She's certainly one of the most popular. Modified, I would say right now it's probably Jonathan Brown. Jonathan's kind of a Southside kid, grew up in not too far from Bowman Gray, and kind of really struggled to, to put together a front running car, and he's really had to hustle and scrap for everything he's ever gotten. He's got a ton of fans, and you know, you can't count out the fans that Burt and Jason Myers have. Tim Brown, you know, they've been at it since the early 90s over there. So it's hard to pick any one guy, but Holloman's had the most votes. But Derek Stoltz, huge. Tim Brown, the Myers boys, I mean, there's so many over there. And that's why that place is packed every Saturday, because there are so many name drivers that the fans just love to come see.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I've compared it to WWE on wheels, but, like, I mean, even that, you know, it's like you've got certain guys that people root for, and then you've got, like, you know, heroes and villains and all these kind of storylines that have been set up and everything. And these go back years, you know, in terms of some of these rivalries that are currently going out, and you see sometimes – you know, fathers against fathers, and then you see sons against sons and that kind of thing. So it seems like the audience is more invested in the product than, say, like higher up at NASCAR or something like that. It almost feels like the audience relates to the guys, because these are guys that they're seeing every day, like Monday through Friday, like out and about town and stuff, right? These are just regular average guys, and they're getting to congregate with them, and then they get to go see them be basically gladiators out here on the track every Saturday
night.
That's
right. And that's part of what makes all these drivers so relatable, is they're all, you know, just like me and you. They go to work every day, and, you know, as far as I know, we don't have, really have any professional racers over there. They all do this for fun. None of them make any money. They spend money, actually, and they spend an enormous amount of time, and, you know, these fans love them. I've been all over the country. I've announced races and worked at over 110 racetracks in some capacity, and I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing like the fans over at Bowman Gray, period. They're the best in the country, and that's why that place is still rocking it in its 71st year. I mean, it's just incredible. And if you haven't been there and you're listening, you need to come tonight. It's $2 ladies' night. You can get all the gals get in for $2. That's $12 for the adult men. Even if you don't like racing, I guarantee you, you're going to be entertained.
Randy, it's Johnny O. You know, I'm glad you just mentioned that, to piggyback that. The Rundown boys, we have to make a commitment, because I'm embarrassed to say I've never been to Bowman Gray.
Me either.
Need to get all the boys together, because we got to do that tailgate thing too. We'd have some fun on the tailgate.
Would be fun, yeah.
And go to one of these races. It won't be tonight, but you're going to see us there very soon. I'm going to talk these boys into going.
You know what? That would actually be a fantastic idea to come. I don't know how early people start showing up at Bowman Gray, but to do the show
there
now. Maybe? They're now? That
yeah.
might be
Are they
something.
Really?
We might have to. I might have to talk to Lauren and see what we can maybe do to kind of maybe do a rundown remote out there sometime this summer. And
Absolutely.
Just that would be wild.
It would.
Would be wild.
And listen, you know, it might be a good thing where you can run a contest with some of your listeners and get a couple lucky fans where they can come and hang out and enjoy the shenanigans. That's part of what makes it so fun. Some people do tailgate. Some have a you know, a little restaurant like Kermit's down the street or wherever it might be that they go to every Saturday. They've got their little habits and routine, and that's part of what makes it fun.
Hey Randy, we appreciate you calling in and getting us hyped up yet again. You never fail whenever you do call in. You get us hyped up about wanting to go check Bowman Gray out. Seriously, definitely go out there tonight. The first race starts at 8 p.m. As he mentioned, it's $2 ladies' night. All female fans admit it for only $2, so definitely go over to Bowman Gray and check them out tonight if you got nothing else to do and you want to have a great time. Randy, we will talk to you again very, very, very soon. Thank you so much.
Enjoy the show, guys. Appreciate being on.
All right. And while Sawyer's doing his magic in the studio, real quick, Aaron, can you give us a Twitter poll update on our question of the day? Is Chris Paul, Houston Rockets point guard Chris Paul, is he still a top 20 player in today's NBA, yes or no?
According to 75% of the listening audience, Chris Paul is no longer a top 20 player in the NBA.
What was the
percentage?
75%.
75%
like
said
he's
no.
Washed up, past his prime.
Dang. Well, that's gonna destroy my next segment. But
washed up.
Yeah,
I thought he had a pretty good series.
He was averaging like 15, 16 a game or something like that. He just didn't really do what we're used to seeing Chris Paul doing, I guess.
Yeah, I'd like to be washed up like that, because that's pretty good. He's still pretty – he's got a couple more years left in him.
So I'm serious about this Bowman Gray thing, man. Like, the more I think about it, that would be so much fun to be able to – that'd be a lot of fun to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Do like a tailgate with a tent outside, have some Bowman Gray fans come in and out, maybe even see some drivers or something, and just kind of pull it to a big deal.
They're already there this morning.
That's crazy. At 10:58, They're already sitting out there. That's nuts to me. But that just goes to show. I mean, I think we'd have a great time. We might not be completely sober by the time we left there, because I think they would kind of make us join in.
I wanted to ask what $2 ladies' night looks like.
I
wanted a visual there.
Yeah, he probably
that could be all over the spectrum.
Yeah, it really could. 336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on anything we're talking about in the rundown today. Right now, I've got Voice of the Dash Joe Weil on the line with his weekly check-in with the rundown with the Winston-Salem Dash. Joe, my brother, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Des? Everything's good over here. How you doing?
Good, good. So I drove through there yesterday because I was thinking about stopping in, and I meant to try to hit you up with a Flow Club ticket for yesterday because Josh Graham had David Glenn here and Darren Vaught was here, and they were entertaining our winner of our March Madness contest. But I drove through Winston about – I don't know, maybe about 7:30, and I saw people kind of mingling around the stadium, but the scoreboard was totally blank, and there was like it looked like there was no power. And then come to find out that you guys couldn't play the game because there was a power outage. Are you guys making that up today, or what's happening?
We are making it up today. So doubleheader today. It starts at 5:00. Gates open at 4:30. But it's just one of those things that you know the saying one of my favorite broadcasters, John Sterling. He always says every baseball game, you can't predict baseball. Well, you can't predict what can happen at a baseball stadium sometimes. because it was lightning, we were getting some rain come through the area, and then all of a sudden, the power went out. And just because of that, the field was getting ready to be good to go. But because of the power, we could not play yesterday. But we're making it up today. So for the folks that were out yesterday, to the ballpark, that we're going to watch the game, your tickets are good for today. So come on out and check out two games today at BB&T Ballpark.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. Sounds like a bargain there. In case you missed it, Joe, like right before we had gotten to you guys in this segment, the segment before in our Barbershop Talk segment, we were talking about the 4-year-old girl that got hit during the Astros-Cubs game earlier this week, and we were just talking about how the protective netting maybe needs to be extended all the way down to the foul pole lines on both sides. And I wanted to get your opinion on that in terms of what you would think in terms of that protective net. Because right now it just goes to the end of the dugouts on both sides, correct? And they just extend
that.
Yeah,
and I think that baseball will get there. You know, as the game and as we grow as a society, we evolve. And, you know, you just mentioned there at the end that the netting has expanded. And it wasn't always like that in terms of being as expanded as it is going to the end of the dugout. So it'll continue to go out over time. I know that's something that our front office staff thinks about. It's not to be done this year, but I know it's something that we're certainly cognizant of. And looking at something like that happen in Houston, it is a reminder that we've done a better job with safety in the game of baseball in general, but that there's still room for improvement to ensure that everybody's safe. You know, we were actually in Down East, and one of our guys hit a foul ball, and it was pretty hard. You know, he turned on a fastball in, so it got past the screen and went toward a little kid, and fortunately the little kid was okay, but it was close to him, and it was a good reinforcement that this stuff can happen. And I think it's best to just ensure safety. And I think fans over time, you know, they may say, well, the netting is going to get in the way of us watching the game. Well, I don't think the fans that are behind the netting here at BB&T Ballpark have any issues with it in terms of watching the game, because they know they're safe.
Hey, Joe, I'm sorry. Joe, go ahead.
All right, I'll go. I'll go, Joe. There you go. Joe, you're a man that is in demand on the radio.
We're chomping at the bit to get to you, Joe.
As somebody that manages kind of the experience for minor league baseball clients, what would you think that it would take away from, if anything, from the fan experience in terms of interacting with the players, closeness, and to get in front of tomorrow's future stars? Any downsides in your mind?
Well, I think in terms of the fan interaction with the players, what I think teams would do is if they did this is it would kind of create a designated area where fans can get autographs, and you still have the outfield too. It shouldn't be screens all around the stadium. You still have the outfield aspect of it. I grew up a Yankee fan, so my favorite interaction as a kid was the bleacher creatures and their chants every day with the players, where they would chant the names and then they get the players to point at them in the outfield. You can still do that with netting, especially down the left and right field side, because you still have the outfield, so the fan interaction side in terms of the actual gameplay, you still get home runs. And it would just you can still get foul balls, too. It's just instead of a line drive, you're getting a pop-up that goes over the fence that you have a much better chance at reacting to. So I think it would take some time to get used to for people. But, again, we don't want things to happen like it did the other day. So I think it is important to try to ensure that the fans are safe at these ball games. You just take away a little bit of maybe the closeness of the game by adding the netting, but in return, you're getting so much more safety. And again, I think this is a way that really all of minor league baseball will go to eventually. It may not be next year. It may not be 2 years, but I think 10 years down the line, you'll see the nets expand a little bit more. And again, I think it's just to ensure the safety of the fans. We always evolve, as a society over time. And I think baseball games and really baseball teams will do that as time progresses.
Joe, Johnny O, just one more quick question on the netting. Now, as a minor league team, can the Dash put the netting up, or do they have to get permission from the league, or like a major league team could just separate teams, individual teams, just automatically put the netting up, or does the major league or minor league president or whatever need to, give it permission?
Yeah, it's actually a question I wish I was more able to answer, because I don't know. I just know with the netting that they've expanded at BB&T Ballpark, it was installed league-wide and really around minor league baseball. Because, again, the screen was not as long as it used to be. It didn't go down to the dugout. Instead, it was just set behind that home plate area. And I think all fans are grateful that the screen is up there now.
Yeah.
So I believe it is something that is instituted within the game itself, and then we have to abide by the rules in which the rules are actually installed. So I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that's how it is.
Perfect. And to be honest with you, I think the netting all the way down would sell more tickets, in the box seats for minor league and major league baseball for families, because a lot of families are afraid to sit down that low right now.
Yeah, and I would agree with you, and I think, again, over time it's going to get there. Unfortunately, what happens a lot of times is something happens first, and then there's a reaction to it instead of thinking about the idea itself. Yeah. And I believe that Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball, they thought the netting that they expanded would end stuff like this happening, but it just goes to show that, no, maybe it needs to be a little bit longer down each side so that stuff like what happened in Houston the other day doesn't happen, in any stadium.
So definitely go check out the Dash tonight. Joe Weil on the line with us, the voice of the Dash. They have a doubleheader due to the missed game from last night due to the weather, and you said the first pitch is at 5 p.m. today, Joe, is that correct?
That is correct. So 5 p.m. today, gates open at 4:30.
Awesome. And they're taking on the Carolina Mudcats in this doubleheader. So definitely there's a lot of stuff to do today in Winston-Salem. We got Bowman Gray over here. We got the Dash over there. The Winston-Salem Wolves are playing today. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So definitely get out of your house and go do something. Joe, we will talk to you next Saturday. I'll talk to you next Thursday.
Sounds good, Dad. Thanks for having me on.
All right, bud. Have a good Saturday. Let's take a quick break. Coming up, the Houston Rockets are highly irritated about not beating the Warriors. General manager Daryl Morey has put the entire roster apparently on the trading block, and head coach Mike D'Antoni's contract will not be extended. Is there a scenario where Chris Paul ends up in Charlotte? Plus, more Warriors versus Raptors coverage. Are we going to see Kevin Durant in the series at all? I say no, and I'll tell you why. Rod Funderburk just walked in the house, so we got a party going on. We'll be back in just a second. Next on the Rundown.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right.
Want to see the Dash for the season for only $7? Check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Winston-Salem Dash deal. Go to sportscarolinamonthly.com. Click on the Dash button at the top of the homepage. Get your ticket vouchers and enjoy baseball action in the Triad. Single game tickets, only $7. They're a $16 value. They are good for the June 6th through the 9th homestand. That is next weekend, Thursday through Sunday. So definitely go get those. Limited supply available. You can cop those right now at sportscarolinamonthly.com. Let's get back into the NBA, gentlemen, and let's welcome in our man, Rod Funderburk, who was in for the second hour today. Rod, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Everybody doing all right?
Doing good.
Great. Doing good.
We're better now that you're here.
Yeah, man.
Well, thank you, man. I missed you guys this morning, but I was cooking some hamburgers for Woodman Life people this morning. Nice. Yeah.
So we have to grab me a hamburger.
Yeah,
for lunch,
man. So we had a pretty good time.
You would think he would have brought a couple.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah,
well, Johnny, like I was telling you, they were still cooking when I left.
Don't want to hear it.
Hey, now listen. You don't give me that hard of a time when I bring in donuts from down the road.
I almost brought in a box today. I almost did.
Comments retracted.
So I want to get into this whole. The Rockets have decided that whatever they've built over the past two or three years just isn't working. They've been very clear that their main goal is to beat the Golden State Warriors. They don't care about anything else but beating the Warriors, and that has not worked. The way they play, the parts they have surrounding James Harden, Chris Paul might have. In hindsight, one of the worst contracts in the NBA right now. He signed a 4-year, $152 million extension with the Rockets last year.
I think Chris Paul would disagree with you.
Yeah. Oh, Chris will disagree.
He's enjoying it.
The Rockets are looking at it like, what did we do? But in years 3 and 4 of this deal, the 2020 and 2021 seasons, Paul will receive $41 and $44 million at age 35 and 36.
Wow.
So I propose this to you guys. The members of the rundown here. If Kemba Walker leaves in free agency, so a lot of things have to happen here first for the scenario to even happen. Let's say Kemba gets offered the Supermax by the Hornets, because I don't think the Hornets are not going to offer him the Supermax. They kind of have to at this point. But let's say that they offer the Supermax and he turns it down and he leaves and he goes to New York or LA or wherever he ends up going. Is it crazy to offer this as a trade to Houston? Because apparently everybody's up on the block right now. Charlotte would offer Nick Batum and Bismack Biyombo, and a 2020 second-round pick. Houston sends back Chris Paul. Now, before you jump on me for why would we take Chris Paul when you just explained that his deal is one of the worst deals in the NBA right now, it would give Charlotte a beloved North Carolina guy. Yeah, he's on the downward end of his career, but he's a Jordan brand guy. He has been for a long time. He's a part owner of the Winston-Salem Dash, matter of fact. We just finished talking about them. He's from the area, grew up in the Clemens, Louisville area, Winston-Salem, went to Wake Forest. It would sell tickets.
Jerseys.
You're not giving up anybody of your young core. Nick Batum, who we've harped on since the inception of this show.
He's been mentioned every show.
He's on our Mount Rushmore of athletes, I believe.
Look here. Nick Batum is owed $25 million this upcoming season, $27 million the next season.
Oh, he earned it this year, though.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Bismack, I didn't even realize, Bismack Biyombo is owed $17 million next year. Now, that's an expiring contract, which would be lucrative to Houston. So really, if you put their two salaries together, you're paying Biyombo and Nick Batum about $40, $41 million for a season. Send them to Houston in a second rounder to make it sweeter. You get back Chris Paul. The Rockets get out from underneath the Chris Paul contract, which allows them to rebuild without having to totally tear down everything. The Hornets would keep their 12th pick. They can draft a kid like Nasir Little. Put him with Miles Bridges on your wing. You still have Malik Monk. You still have Dwayne Bacon. You still have Devontae Graham. You get Biyombo and Batum's contracts off the books. So you're basically swapping Paul's contract for Batum and Biyombo. And Chris Paul now can do Lob City 2 with Miles Bridges and Nasir Little and just have him running with these young kids. And that way you can kind of build the core for the Hornets, have somebody that you'll pay a ticket for to see Chris Paul run them and actually kind of be like a coach on the court and just kind of mold them into whatever. Then you draft a point guard to take over for Chris Paul in 2021 when he's 55 years old or whatever, and he's still making $40 million a year. Am I crazy to think that that could potentially happen? If they were willing to give Kemba this money, then why would they not be willing to basically swap out money and bring back a hometown or a home state favorite while they groom their young cast? And I'll throw that into the laps.
Do you want us to talk about just a specific scenario or in general?
First, the scenario. Like, is it crazy that scenario? Like, do you think that's a crazy scenario to happen?
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. Couple things here. Number one, so Biz has a player option this year, which he would opt into the $17 million contract because nobody's going to pay him that.
Yeah.
But where we run into trouble is the second year of Chris Paul's contract, where we're paying him $44 million. Biz's money would fall off the table. You've lost Kemba and you're in a reboot.
Yeah.
So now you've prohibited your ability to go out and put somebody around Paul or continue the rebuild. So That part I think would be sticky. And then, but other than that, though, you know, if Houston says, "Hey, we love this because we're getting kind of role players really that you could piece around," I think you'd have to probably up the ante and go with a first round pick in order to dump the contracts that. rather than a second round pick.
But that makes us look crazy for giving up a first for Chris Paul.
Yeah, and not keeping Kemba.
Yeah, and not keeping Kemba. Like,
so what? It'd be a sign and trade with Kemba?
No, like, Kemba just leaves.
Oh, he just leaves.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so Kemba's not even there. So you're not even worried about paying him $40 million. Okay. But you were willing to,
right?
And if you could still pay a player $40 million and get $40 million off your books, so it's just a swap in salary, you're going to pay this anyway.
And one scenario where this doesn't look as crazy is if Kemba walks, but we re-sign Jeremy Lamb. So then you've got Chris Paul and Jeremy Lamb coming back.
And see, I almost want to give Monk a shot to play shooting guard, you know, starting, you know, because he's a little undersized. What is he, like 6'4", or something like that? Mm-hmm. But I think we spent a first-round pick on him. I think this will be his third year starting off here next season. Dwayne Bacon came on pretty strong last year towards the end of the year. I want to give him a shot to run. And Devontae Graham played great, too. When Borrego played the young guys towards the end of the year, they really came through. So even if Kemba stays, I want it to be Kemba and the young guns. Like Kemba and all those guys. Bridges, Monk, Bacon, Graham.
I love that, too.
If Nasir Little gets drafted 12. I like that core, actually. Yeah.
I like Monk. I just would like to see something at the defensive end of the court with his game. But other than that, I'm totally with you.
Any of these scenarios, the Hornets are still going nowhere. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I mean it's going to take a while. But let me stick up for Chris Paul. Okay, I would love to see Chris Paul come to Charlotte. Not sure if it's going to happen, but this dude can still play. I mean, he with him and Harden on the same team in that whole ISO game that Harden plays, Chris Paul needs to run the ball and move the ball. I mean, it's completely – it doesn't work with those two.
You can't beat the Warriors playing ISO ball.
No. Yeah, I'm with you, Johnny. And I think that's the whole reason also that, you know, there's no big contract extension for Mike D'Antoni right now. Oh. Because a lot of that goes back to coaching when you're talking about the Warriors.
And let me interrupt for one more second. When they're not going to extend him or, you know, he's turning it down and they don't want to give him a long term that to me is being fired. Okay, he's being forced
out. You're mutually
separating.
And he's
been forced out of every one of his jobs. Yep. I know he hasn't officially been fired from the Knicks or the Lakers and all that. He was forced out.
Especially
the
Lakers.
That's the same way. Yeah. You're being fired.
The same thing that happened with him in L.A. is what's happening right now in Houston. Like, they wouldn't give him an extension. He wouldn't leave, and he just wrote his contract out and then just left. Like, there was no firing, but for all intents and purposes, the company said, "We no longer need your services. They're no longer required. We're not going to re-up your deal." That's being fired. You're being fired.
Right, and I think they're trying to do a little smoke and mist here. And that's why the whole reason that the Rockets said, "Hey, we're putting all these players on the chopping block," because they want D'Antoni to see this mist over here. When actually, D'Antoni, you're the person that we're getting rid of here, buddy. You're getting ready to leave. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Rockets want to win right now. Chris Paul wants to win right now. You can't tell me he doesn't.
Yeah.
James Harden wants to win right now. Now, Clint Capella, although he did great his first 5 years in the league, I don't know what, and he had a great regular season. I don't know what happened to him in the playoffs. It was as if kryptonite was given to him by the Warriors, and he just turned into a whole nother center that I could not identify with. But the Warriors want to win, and I think the key is getting rid of D'Antoni.
It is.
Here's some quick stuff on Chris Paul. So from 2013 to 17, which would maybe be his glory years, the guy's averaging 19 points and 9 or 10 assists a game. That's what earns this contract. That's vintage.
That's a 20-10 guy.
That's a vintage Chris Paul.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, he's only played 58 games in each of the last two seasons. With this last year, he ended up 15.6 points and 8 assists. And before we get excited about the 8 assist number, he also had James Harden on
his team. So that could be 14 assists.
Right. And that's the issue. Because with James Harden being on the team, if you guys remember when they were playing the Rockets, Chris Paul was shooting from the field 53%, but James Harden was playing ISO ball, and Chris Paul could not get any shots.
I've been on record saying I hate the Rockets because I hate the way they play, and we talked about it through the whole season. But like, you could see if Chris Paul had the ball, like say there's a rebound and they're going back the other direction, and Paul's bringing it up. If Harden doesn't have the ball in his hands, he just kind of loafs up the court. Yeah, like it's like, and he's not even concerned about what's going on. He just kind of just doesn't even care, really. I don't. The Rockets are never going to beat the Warriors if they're going to keep doing it like this. I do have a caller on the line, Matt from Greensboro, on the line. He wants to talk about CP3. What's up, Matt?
Hey guys, good morning. I hate that idea of bringing Chris Paul. If Kimba leaves, they just need to just tank, you know.
Oh,
tank by default. You know, reset, get a couple years of top, you know, three picks maybe. And I would be more interested in watching, you know, some of the young guys, you know, develop, you know, Bridges, Bacon, maybe even there's still some hope for Monk, than bringing in Chris Paul and still, you know, competing for an eighth playoff spot and getting a 12th pick in the draft. I just, you know, this team has been, you know, trying to hang on and compete with Kemba when they probably should have already been tanking, just you know, try to reset, because Chris Paul isn't as good as Kemba now, and he can't even get them to the playoffs with their current rosters.
So, Matt, I have a question for you. Do you not think the Charlotte Hornets should go after any free agents at all? I know you said not Chris Paul, and then you said to try to build through the draft. Do you not think we should try and grab any free agents out there?
Well, if they get Kemba or maybe to entice him, I mean, I don't know if that's a wise idea to give him that money, but it would be, you know, more entertaining to watch probably. Trade, you know, you're talking about trades. Clint Capella, I mean, yeah, he disappeared in the playoffs, but he's still, you know, a huge upgrade of what they had, you know, athletically wise at the center position for a long time. And I think he would work, you know, good with Kemba. I mean, if you try to offer like Biombo and, you know, that 12th pick maybe, I mean, I don't know if that's too high for, you know, Clint Capella, but, you know, just throw that out there, you know, they would have Biombo's contract come off the books next year.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're looking to do, but, you know, maybe do something. I mean, it all depends on what they're going to do with Kemba. I'm sure they're going to offer him. It's just, you know, does he want to stay somewhere where in all likelihood he's never going to, you know, get out of the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, not at $221 million. What are they going to do after that?
It's hard to leave $60 million on the table. I don't care how much you're losing. Hey, Matt, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for listening to the Rundown. Real quick before we take this next break. The reason why I brought this up is because the Hornets are rumored to be one of the four teams that are talking to the Rockets right now about trades, along with the Lakers, the Heat, and I'm missing a team. There's four teams
Phoenix,
the Suns, that's who it was, that are talking to the Rockets about moving stuff. And I'm looking at Houston's roster, and I'm like, I think I saw the Hornets have inquired about Chris Paul already. Like, just, you know, what would it take to blah, blah, blah. And to me, I look at that like that's a fail-safe in case they don't get Kemba back. Like, they're trying to figure out what would they need to put together to do that. And then I also saw the Hornets are also talking to Cleveland about getting Kevin Love, which I mentioned on this show a couple of months back would be a good move for them. Stretch four. Kevin Love is still a great player. I just thought the Lakers would end up getting Kevin Love before anybody else. But
yeah, and one thing, too, we got to think about with this as we just kind of kick back the pros and cons of Chris Paul is – it doesn't sound like anybody's terribly excited about the, you know, 41 and 44 million at 35 and 36, yeah, which is exactly what we'd be paying Kemba. So do you think
just for 2 years? Just
for 2 years. Yeah. But my point being, are we excited about, do we think a 35 and 36 year old Kemba is better than 35 and 36 year old Chris Paul? Because the last 2 years of the 5 year contract would be looking pretty close there.
Kemba never really had any injuries yet. He's 30. Chris Paul has had a history of injuries when he signed the deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot easier for us to look at it now. But let's say we sign Kemba to Supermax. It's all out win now.
Yeah.
Because your window's pretty small.
You
got
to go get somebody to pair with him. Like, if you're gonna sign Kemba to a Supermax deal, the next move has to be to clear Batum and all these other guys off the roster and either work with your young guys for a year or put something together to try to trade to get – go try to get Anthony Davis for a year, you know,
not going to happen.
I know.
I mean, think about this with Kemba Walker, and I'm not taking anything away from Kemba Walker, you know, all NBA, third team. I still think Klay Thompson should have got it. But anyway,
yeah.
What does Michael Jordan, okay, the greatest player to ever played a game, he's looking and saying, I'm going to pay Kemba Walker $221 million when I, you know, because Michael didn't make, you know, back then, that much money. That's got to make him shiver.
I mean
he's got to be saying, are you kidding
me? But he's responsible for that. Like, Jordan exploded the game. Like, he's the reason why these dudes are making all this money now is because of what he did 20 years before. But he said that, you know, he doesn't have a problem paying Kemba. He doesn't have a problem paying an all-star, all-star money. He doesn't want to pay somebody all-star money that isn't an all-star. So I don't think there's any question they're going to try to supermax this dude out. And he deserves it. He's been criminally underpaid his entire career. Yeah, and he's been the face of the franchise. So I don't have any problems with them giving him the money. I want to get rid of Nick Batum. I want Nick Batum all the way out of here. I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. We need to get Nick Batum on this show.
If it means taking back Chris Paul, I'm at the point where I'm like, I'll take a 35-year-old Chris Paul if it means Nick Batum is no longer a Charlotte Hornet and is gone. Just out of here. Like, too much.
Batum is a cautionary tale how one bad contract can just
destroys everything.
Ransom your whole franchise.
Ugh. All right, I need to take a break so I can stop thinking about Nick Batum. we're going to talk Panther talk. We're only 99 days away from the start of the 2019 regular season, and the Panthers are out here making moves. I did not expect them to be doing this. Did a tweet from Field Yates late Thursday night detail how the Panthers are moving money to sign former defensive tackle for the Bucks, Gerald McCoy, and an update on Cam Newton's rehab, too. Next on the Rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
Gonna be one big party.
Yeah,
back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Pro basketball in Winston-Salem. Check out the first place Winston-Salem Wolves today at Forsyth Country Day as they take on the Rowan County Bulls. The tip-off's at 6 p.m. You can buy tickets for $5 each at sportscolonymonthly.com right now. Buy, save, root for the Wolves. East Coast Basketball League action right here today in the Triad. Man, we got a lot of stuff going on in the Triad today, especially out here towards Winston. The Dash are playing a doubleheader. Bowman Gray's racing tonight at 8 o'clock. The Wolves are tipping off at 6 p.m., and their playoffs start next weekend, if I'm not mistaken, and they're the number one seed. Rod is the voice of the Wolves. He'll be out for Side Country Day, so you can go check out Rod out there as well. One more quick check on the Twitter poll with Aaron, see if there's any change. Is Chris Paul a top 20 player still in the NBA? What say you, Aaron?
According to our Twitter poll, our listening public have voted, and 80% of our listening public believe that Chris Paul is absolutely not still a top 20 player.
It got worse. in the second
to last town time. Crowd. How does that poll in Houston?
Wow. All right, so let's get into some Carolina Panther talk. We got a little bit to talk about here. Former Tampa Bay defensive tackle Gerald McCoy was in Charlotte the past 2 days. Panthers wide receiver Torrey Smith has agreed to a pay cut of $2 million per Field Yates on Twitter.
There's a team player right there.
Yeah, that's fantastic because he could have just got cut and we could have kept the whole five. And I mentioned that on the drive, I think Wednesday afternoon, I was like, look, if Gerald McCoy's coming in, the only money we have left to move around is Torrey Smith. They cut him. They get his whole $5 million base salary back. I didn't think about them moving money or him taking a pay cut just to stay with the team. So that tells me, A, the Panthers wanted him in the wide receiver room and didn't want to cut him because they could have easily just been like, you know, peace, get out of here. And B, he wanted to stay with the Panthers to take a pay cut and just be able to be a part of the team, which is great. So he was owed $5 million non-guaranteed this season. Now he's only owed $2 million. That's Torrey Smith. That created an extra $2 million in cap space. And Haskell, you were saying after today is over, Carolina will be sitting around, what, about $19
million? $19
million, yep. Which is great considering what they were at a couple weeks ago. Shout out to Marty Herney for this offseason because he's really done a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the center from Denver, Paredes, that they got to replace Khalil. He was like the number two rated center in the whole league last year. They signed Bruce Irvin to go into this 3-4 offense that Rivera is going to implement. I didn't realize this, but Rivera was the defensive coordinator for San Diego right before he came to Carolina as head coach. And the last year in San Diego, he was running his 3-4, and it was the number one defense in the NFL. So, they've got the pieces to be able to do it with, and McCoy would fit in this really, really well.
It's time to win now, man.
Yeah,
they're going
after
it.
They got to do it right now. Cam is 30. If Cam is going to shift to this Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick when he was with Philly, like that kind of quarterback where he's not relying on just taking off running, which he really hadn't done the past 3 years. He's really gotten better. And last year, really, before the shoulder fell off, when they were 6-2, he was throwing 70% clip. I mean, he was going to be in the MVP conversation if he continued the path he was on. He's throwing now, according to our friend Jordan Rodrigue from the Charlotte Observer. He is throwing overhand now with a regulation size football. He's actually about a month ahead of schedule.
Beautiful.
Another step in the rehab process. He'll remain on schedule to be participating in workouts by training camp, and the team is not planning on rushing him. Guys, if Cam Newton is 100% and if they somehow land Gerald McCoy, are you comfortable picking the Panthers to win the NFC South next year?
Yeah, I'm definitely comfortable picking the Panthers to win the NFC South. Matter of fact, I'm comfortable picking the Panthers to win the NFC South if he wasn't ready to go just yet. Seriously. I mean, I don't like what the New Orleans Saints did, you know, when they let their running back Ingram go. I don't like any of the upgrades that they really made during the offseason, which to me there weren't any. Then now I am a little nervous about the Tampa Bay Bucks. Bruce Arians is going down there with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And right, he also brought, is it Moa?
Oh, Jim Mora.
Assistant.
Who coached Peyton Manning. And they're going to take some time, and they're going to make sure Jameis Winston is ready to go. Now, they may need a season, but I think after this season, Tampa Bay Bucks, you better watch out for them on the horizon.
They get their hands on Jameis because Jameis has
this is the
talent,
year he's got to he's got to show out this year too. So they want to keep him.
And then Tampa has a defensive coordinator who was a head coach for the Jets who's coming down now.
Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles. Yeah.
I mean, the Bucks actually are putting something together. I'm telling you, they're not bad. So I will pick the Panthers this year. But and the reason for that is what I just said about the Saints and also the Bucks. I'm not sure about Atlanta. I didn't see Atlanta really making any true upgrades.
I don't think they did a whole lot.
And then also the Panthers, it's their year to win. This is an odd year for them. So this is their year to win. That's how they've been doing it. But next year, I'd be looking for the Bucks.
I like everything that Carolina's done in the offseason. They filled holes quietly. They didn't go and make a splash free agent signing or something where they blew a bunch of money on one guy. Right now, too, the skill positions are young. You're not paying a lot of money out. Like, Cleveland's different. All their money's at wide receiver with Beckham and Landry. Mm-hmm. And then in their secondary, who's the cornerback that pays for them that's really good that they drafted. But that money's there, too. If you look at Carolina's roster, their wide receivers, Curtis Samuel, rookie contract. DJ Moore, who I think is going to have a breakout year this year, rookie contract. Christian McCaffrey, who will probably hit 2,000 yards combined this year, rushing and receiving, rookie contract. The tight end that we're high on, what's his name, Ian Clark or something like that?
Ian
Thomas. No, is that right? I can't remember.
Thomas, I think.
I think it is Ian Thomas. Yeah, rookie contract. So, yeah. I mean, all of them are on rookie deals. Bradbury's still on his rookie deal, cornerback. The safety, Golden, that they're probably going to get starting, he's on a rookie deal. So, like, everything's in place. And Cam is on a contract right now, quarterback-wise, that's paying him like $19, $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get that around.
And that's underpaid, really,
that's
for
underpaid.
A quarterback nowadays.
Yeah. Luke is on a deal that I guess you could kind of say is underpaying him right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of took team-friendly deals when they signed those, and they're going to come back around in 2 years, too, both of them, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Rivera's tied to 2020. His contract's up then, too. I think by them doing this and showing that they're not afraid to go after somebody like Gerald McCoy, that the Panthers are basically going all in on 2019. Yeah. Like,
and with Ron Rivera taking over that defense, now you're talking about a coach who knows about paying attention to detail.
Yep, I love it.
And if you guys know about football, it's the small detail things that win you the game. Knowing when that offensive lineman sticks three fingers in the ground that he's going in a pass probe as a four when it's a running play. You know what I mean? It's knowing that shade the outside of that offensive tackle, you know, and then know how to shoot that gap. It's the small things that Ron Rivera pays attention to. And I think that's why his defense was number one when he was with San Diego. And with him coming back to take it over, Ron knows it's time to win now. And I expect big things from the Panthers. And I especially expect it from the defense. Mm-hmm. As you guys know, I've always harped on defense. You can say what you want about offense. But let's go back to the Super Bowl. What was the score?
Yeah.
Was there defense being played? Did a defensive team win that game? Was it defense that won the Super Bowl? Yes, it was. Offense wins you games, but defense wins you championships.
Rod, you're making me want to tackle somebody right now.
Carolina doesn't have a Super Bowl ring because they ran up against a defense that stopped them from doing what they wanted to do. And that, I totally subscribe to that. Offense wins games. Defense wins championships. I like what we have on defense with Carolina right now. The only other thing that they probably need is another safety. And if they don't land Gerald McCoy, which is a possibility, Trey Boston's still out there. There's been rumors that he's been wanting to come back home. Carolina product, he played here. We drafted him, and then he went off and did other things. Although I did hear yesterday that he is willing to sit out next season if teams won't get to the price point he wants, which I think is the dumbest thing he could have done. Because
you need to keep playing football.
Yeah, if you're out of sight, you're out of mind in the NFL. You sit a year out, people aren't going to be like, oh, well, Trey Boston's going to play again. Let me go sign him real quick. If they didn't want you right now, then you probably need to reevaluate your value and figure out, you know, what you're willing to accept to play. There's also rumors that maybe this weekend Josh Norman might get cut by the Redskins. He might be
I've
a cut casualty.
Really? Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, I've heard
would
that.
You want him back? Is the question.
I would.
Yeah.
I'd take. Yeah. Josh didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
He was ours.
Yeah. Like, he was a homegrown product.
That would make a splash right there.
And I've said this too. When we lost him, and I'm not going to go all into why we lost him and the whole thing with Gettleman and everything else, but when we lost him the next year in 2016, we were starting two rookie cornerbacks. The entire secondary, the entire defense lost its swagger. Like, mm-hmm. It all started with Josh Norman and guys like Peanut Tillman
just,
and the guys
they
like
just went to the Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, and it was Josh Norman's fight with Cam Newton in the beginning of that preseason that kind of set the stage for that team. And when they lost him, that whole that next season was the year that Julio Jones went nuts on us and had like a 300-yard game and Matt Ryan threw for 500 yards on us or whatever. It felt like a Tecmo Bowl game that had just gone horribly wrong.
It did.
Couldn't hit the reset button on it. But
that's
what happened.
You got to blame Gettleman for that. I mean, he's the same guy that picked Jones in the first round.
Would you want Norman back?
Yeah, I mean, now that you say yes, the answer is yes.
He's 31, 32.
I think the issue in the NFC South is with Mike Evans and Tampa and all these other tall receivers and Julio, and you've got to be loaded at corner if you're gonna play in this division.
And I like Bradbury. Bradbury's fine. I would have been fine with them putting a tag on Norman and then drafting Bradbury where they did in the second round and having them as your two cornerback tandem. That would actually have been really, really good. But we wouldn't have Dante Jackson today if that happened, and I really like Dante.
So,
honestly, now that I'm saying that out loud, I don't know if they would go after Norman because unless they put Jackson in the nickel or something in the slot, but that might be a waste of his talent. I don't know. But that's a rumor that's out there, too. Josh Norman might get cut because most of his guaranteed money's already been paid by the Redskins. I feel bad for him, really, because the Redskins signed him to be a man-to-man corner, and that's not what he is. He's like Richard
Sherman.
He's
a certain side of the field.
He's a zone corner, right. Like, and he played that to perfection in our defense. The Redskins tried to turn him into something he never was, and it made it look like he fell off. But I think Norman's got an extra 2-3 years in his pocket that he could play in a zone, like cover three type scheme, like Legion of Boom used to do back in the day. Mm-hmm. Richard Sherman played it to perfection, but then you take him out, put him on the 49ers, and try to make him play man-to-man. He's not going to be the same cornerback. Same thing happened to Josh Norman. So he didn't leave her in bad terms from Rivera or – hell, Herney's the one that drafted him. So, it could happen.
Well, we all agree, obviously the defense, and they're building that defense back where it's going to be the key for the Panthers, but – just give us one season of Cam being 100%. I mean, we really need that.
When he's healthy, well, you know what? How many – I don't know. Aaron, I don't know if you can find this out real quick or not because I'm about to call on you, so I'm about to make it real tough anyway. How many games has Cam Newton missed in his career, like in terms of – like because it has not that many. Like, it feels
I'd
he's
say
only
three at the most.
Yeah, I was going to say like five maybe total.
But he plays injured. He
plays hurt.
I just want him 100%. Healthy.
Yeah, and I mean, again.
Or at least 90%.
And since Cam has been there, it's been one of those every other year seasons. He'll have an MVP season every other year. I remember that first year with Cam, they went to the playoffs. We didn't think that they were going to beat Seattle.
Yeah.
Remember when they walked the dog
on
Seattle.
That was 2015. Yeah. That was when, because they started out super early, and they're playing at Bank of America, and it was so loud in there, and they just got on them early. And I do remember Seattle trying to come back.
Yeah.
Because I started panicking a little bit at the end because Russell Wilson started running around. But and then they beat Arizona the next week,
same way.
They
sure did, yeah.
Gosh. And then a defense.
No, they whipped Arizona.
They did. Like, they beat the brakes off Arizona. They really, really did.
Yeah, they beat them like redheaded stepchildren.
I want that team back. I want them to have fun. That team was posing for pictures on the sideline and doing the dab. And they were just having fun every week. And they haven't gotten back to that yet, and I'm hoping they get back to that this season.
So I was looking up, how many games Cam missed, and there's not a single definitive answer for every season. But I came across this website, and it takes in account how many times he gets hit in his play style, and it's pretty cool. So it says his chance of injury in 2019 is 45%, and his projected games missed for 2019 is 1.7. I don't know what this is. Like,
wow.
Seems to be they're doing their, you know, math and their research, and like it's called an injury predictor.
Yeah, so they're basically saying he's going to get hurt. He's going to just play hurt.
Yeah, 50% chance he's going to get hurt, and a 4% chance each game that he's going to get hurt.
So. Wow. You know, and he got hurt not even running the ball. He got hurt in the pocket. And like, I think the past couple of times. Oh, no. And then the time before, they got hurt trying to tackle a guy because he had thrown an interception and he landed on his shoulder. That's what originally started this 2 years ago. So it's not that he's getting hurt running the ball. He's just getting hurt because he's a football player. And he's
I think when he first got hurt, you know, the line was having a hard time protecting him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that's when we had to go and try and upgrade in the offensive lineman area.
His injury report was starting in, like, you know, 2012. It was ankle, rib, vertebrae, concussion, shoulder, knee, shoulder.
The vertebrae was the car accident.
Not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
the vertebrae was him flipping that truck on the
interstate.
I think
the concussion was when the ref told him, you ain't been in the league long enough to get those calls.
I believe
you guys remember that?
Too. Yeah. It took one on the chin by the Denver guy. God, that game was
Von Miller.
Brutal. The rematch that opening week the next year, 2016, where they lost on that field goal they missed. Every week we do this thing with Intern Aaron, 1 minute with Intern Aaron, where I give him a question and he answers it to the best of his capabilities. And sticking to the NFC South today for you, my friend, Intern Aaron, predict the finish of the NFC South from first to fourth and tell us why you're picking what you're picking.
All right, buckle in, because just like some of the ladies in my life, you're about to spend 1 minute with your boy.
I don't know if that's good or bad there, Aaron.
All right, going from worst to first, we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I got Slater coming in fourth place. They did do some off-season work bringing in Bruce Arians. I do like some of the things they did with the draft, but they got Jameis Winston as quarterback. Ain't that many crab legs in the world, baby. They're taking some L's this year. Coming in at number three, I got the Atlanta Falcons. They got some injury bugs. The injury bug bit them last year, so that kind of set them back. I don't think they did enough in the offseason to kind of rebound. I got them going about 6-10. They lost Tevin Coleman as well, maybe 8-8 at best. Coming in at number two, I got hometown boys, Carolina Panthers.
Oh.
Switching to a 3-4 base. I like Brian Burns. It all depends on Cam Newton's shoulder. Coming in at number one, the New Orleans Saints. They didn't lose a whole lot. Depends on the age of Drew Brees and how he holds up. I think it's going to be more of the same for New Orleans. I don't think they'll miss Mark Ingram as much as we think they will.
Pretty good. That's really good. I like that. Okay.
1 minute is enough. That's all you get. That's all I got.
Coming up, odds and ends. We finish out the show rapid fire round. We get 1 minute to debate a random topic. You do not want to miss this next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go. You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Good show today. Download full episodes of The Rundown and The Best of the Drive with Josh Graham at sportshubtryit.com. As soon as you get there, scroll down just a little bit. It's right there at the top. Click on the download arrow. Put it in your phone. Put it in your iPad, your tablet. Take it with you. Listen throughout the day, today and tomorrow, and enjoy The Rundown and The Best of the Drive with Josh Graham. This is The Rundown. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson, Johnny O, Rod Funderburk, Haskell Shelton in the house, Sawyer Dillon, and Intern Aaron in the control booth as we try to land this plane successfully, as we always do at the end of The Rundown. Odds and ends, Sawyer's going to set a stop clock for 1 minute. At the end of 1 minute, we'll hear a buzzer sound, six topics, rapid fire. Let's go ahead and get it going, Sawyer.
All right, here we go. Starting out, who should the Hornets draft at number 12? Nasir Little from UNC, Ball from Oregon, or P.J. Washington from Kentucky?
I like Nasir, man.
Of course
I know
do.
People are going to say I like the UNC and everything. I saw footage of his workout at the Hornets yesterday, and he was out there shooting 15-footers. And
I look
looking
good
smooth.
When I'm just shooting 15-footers by myself, too.
I like Nasir, man. I think Nasir is going to end up being one of the steals of this draft. People forget he was a top three guy coming into the season this year behind Mr. Zion Williamson and Mr. RJ Barrett. So if the Hornets can luck into a talent like that at number 12, I'm all for Nasir. Anybody got somebody different? Or?
I hate that Bol Bol got injured early. I watched about two or three games before he got injured. I think he lasted only, seven or eight games. That dude is the real deal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's tall,
so
he can shoot, he can move, he can rebound, he can handle the ball. I would take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. He only weighs 210 pounds.
But he's going to, you know, he can
get a little bit on him, yeah.
Boy, his dad weighs about 110.
Yeah, that's true, too.
All right, Juwan Howard was introduced as the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines basketball program on Thursday. Odds that Michigan puts back up the two Final Four banners from the Fab Five from 91 to 92.
100%.
100%?
Yep.
We expect that from a Michigan fan.
Yeah, no, well, it's going to happen for a couple of reasons. Number one, you got a Michigan guy who's the athletic director right now. You've got Jim Harbaugh advocating for the banners to come back up. You got promises from Jalen and Juwan that the Fab Five are going to get Chris Webber back in the fold.
Love it.
And they're outside their probationary period, so technically they could do it. So
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So it's happening.
I think this was a great – you know, you guys know how much I love the Fab Five. I think this was the best move for Michigan, losing John Beilein the way they did, him going to coach the Cavs, which I still am scratching my head over. Like, why would you do that? But I love the pick, Juwan Howard as coach. I think he's going to be fantastic. Under Eric Spoelstra, learned under Pat Riley. He was about to take the Minnesota Timberwolves assistant head coaching job, and then this kept getting called back to him. I think it's a great move. And actually, Seventh Woods might be transferring there. It's one of his final three schools is Michigan, South Carolina, and Gonzaga are the three of these.
Real quick on a Juwan Howard hire, plus the Fab Five recruiting for him.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Look out.
I think he's going to do great in recruiting. You're right about that, John.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
All right, after the events of the draft lottery, which team has a better shot to land Anthony Davis, the Lakers, Knicks, or the Celtics?
Huh. I'm going to say real quick, he's staying with the Pelicans, and the Pelicans are going to make a move. I see Haskell staring at me like it's a Boston Celtic thing here. If he stays with the Pelicans, think about that real quick. Anthony Davis, of course, Zion, and Julius Randle on the front line, and give you know, can they pick up a free agent point guard? Like
they have Drew
Kyrie
Holiday.
Yeah.
They have Drew Holiday.
Yeah. But that team would be one hell of a basketball team.
Well, I believe the Lakers get him for a couple of reasons. Well, the first reason is I don't think he wants to stay. I think he's out of there regardless.
They took him off all the promotional material and stuff at the end
of
last season.
Yeah, he's gone. He's out of there.
But the fans are booing him.
New GM and president.
And then the second reason is the Lakers are going to make something happen. Their new president, who just took Magic Johnson's place, he's going to say, see, guys, Magic couldn't make it work. But Pelinka is going to say, I was able to make it work.
So wow, you think Rob Pelinka is going to be able to pull this off?
Watch. Lakers, baby, watch. That's where it's going.
I don't know.
Remember, June 1st.
He's definitely not going to the Celtics because the Celtics aren't going to be able to keep Kyrie Irving. They're not even going to have him. So, yeah.
You heard it first, Haskell, from Johnny O. Sticking with the Pelicans.
The Johnny O guarantee.
The Johnny O guarantee. 60% of the time, it's right every time.
All right, prep star RJ Hampton chose to go overseas and play a year in Australia instead of enrolling in college for 8 months. Is this the start of a trend, or will Hampton regret this decision?
I can't think of a single guy that's done this and came back at a higher slot than when he left. You know, Brandon Jennings. There's a couple of guys that have tried to do this. Yeah. It just doesn't seem to work. Being in the college basketball game here is like the biggest promotional tool you could have. Look at what happened to Zion. Zion wasn't the number one pick when the season started, but being exposed 40 different times playing for Duke elevated him to the number one status, and that wouldn't have happened if he skipped a year or sat out or went overseas or whatever. He would probably get drafted lower than he's about to get drafted in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only other problem with that is we don't know his family's personal financial situation, and a lot of times these guys come from places that are not so good, and they have to do what they have to do in order to support their family as well as themselves.
Yes,
I don't think it'll hurt him, and you know, going overseas, going to Australia, not a bad place to go, though.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Yeah.
Down under.
All right. The Yankees currently lead the AL East with Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Didi Gregorius, and Aaron Hicks all in the injury reserve. Will the Yankees be the team to beat once fully healthy?
No, I don't think they are.
I just want to see if the Red Sox fan.
The Red Sox fans are automatically going to say no. The impartial Tigers guy.
He paused for a second. He's like,
no, I don't think the Yankees are going to be the team to beat. I think Houston's still the team to beat in the American League.
I agree with you.
They got so many people on injured reserve, and I didn't realize they were still leading the AL East, and they're hitting home runs and stuff, too. But Yeah, you get Judge and Stanton and those guys back. You guys don't think they're going to ultimately just
They're going to have a great year.
Yeah.
But I agree with Heskey.
Major League Baseball is all about pitching and bullpen right
and
now.
And Houston has got it. Yeah. And look out for the Dodgers in the National League. Wow.
All right. I mean, hey, finished early.
Good answer. Good answers, guys. Good answer.
All right. If the Raptors win the NBA Finals, odds on Kawhi staying in Toronto and odds on Durant leaving the Warriors.
So, okay, so if the Raptors win the NBA Finals.
What's happening to both players?
The problem is nobody knows what Kawhi's thinking at any given time. Like, no one knows what he wants. Everyone can assume that, oh, he wants to play in L.A. and he wants to do this. Nobody knows. No one knows. Like, I know this, though. The city of Toronto has done this Keep Kawhi campaign where, like, bakeries and, like, restaurants, like, if they have the sign in the front window, then he can come in there for life and get whatever for free.
Oh, nice.
Toronto is not a bad place to live.
Yeah, it's just cold in the wintertime.
Oh, I love it.
It's just cold up there during the winter, but you're in Canada.
Yeah.
No colder than New York or whatever.
But I'm going to tell you what, if Kawhi wins, that's winning a championship at two different NBA teams.
Yep.
There's no reason for him to stay. He'll leave, go to L.A., say, I'm about to do it at three, baby.
But with the Clippers? You think he'll go to the Clippers?
Doc Rivers? Why not? The owner? What, the richest man in the league? But why not?
It's the Clippers. It's still the Clippers.
Why not? The team to beat next
year. Yes, sir.
Can anyone name a free agent in the history of the NBA that voluntarily went to the Clippers that was a top five player?
Chris Paul. They have a great owner now. They have a great owner.
He wanted to go there.
Well, he wanted to go to L.A. Remember, they stopped the Laker trade.
Yeah, but then he wanted to go there and play with, what's the kid?
Oh, Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin, yeah.
Ballmer as the owner and Doc Rivers as the coach. People want to go
play sir. I'm telling you. They're like the new Dallas Cowboys, baby, in the NBA. Everybody wants to play for
them. Maybe the Cowboys are the new Clippers.
Everybody wants to play for them. They even got stars on their jerseys.
Oh, my gosh. Don't forget to download the free WSJS Sports Hub app from Google Play and iTunes. Don't forget, check out the Sports Carolina Monthly Podcast Center. Hear weekly podcasts like The Rundown, Four Man Rush, Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, and more. Now available in all major podcast formats, including Spotify, Google, Apple, and much, much more. Brought to you by our friends at Ray's Auto Body and Wrecker Service. We're done. It's a beautiful Saturday. Get out your house and go find something to do. We'll talk to you next week.
Yay. Yeah.